This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
I'm Melissa Ingalls. When the Taiwan-based company Foxconn promised to build a huge TV screen manufacturing plant in Wisconsin in 2017, residents and politicians hoped it would do great things for the local and state economy. 4 years later, that simply hasn't happened. Madison author Lawrence Tabak has written a book called Foxconn, which came out this month. It examines not just what happened in Wisconsin, but in other places where companies promised projects and jobs that never materialized. I asked him, why does this keep happening?
The question of sort of why these deals get hyped and passed by through legislatures is really a fundamental question in the book, and it's a complex one. But in short, there's a lot of institutionalized incentives that have been created and have developed over the years, which help explain why these things keep getting done. And another example, of course, would be the Amazon headquarters, which was a big story a year ago.
One of the things that really hit me was that people were forced out of their homes, forced off of their property, and now nothing has happened. It seems like it's all happened for nothing. I mean, doesn't eminent domain protect people from that kind of thing?
Well, you would hope so. And people from across the political spectrum, I think, would hope so as well. This isn't really a politicized issue. But eminent domain laws can be widely interpreted, as they were in this case. And they were used as leverage to drive people off of family farms that were multi-generational and out of homes that were sometimes just recently completed. And the technique for doing that was to declare the entire region blighted.
So are there any consequences for a company like Foxconn who, you know, doesn't deliver on what they said they do? I mean, isn't there some kind of contractual obligation to do what they said?
Not exactly. I mean, one of the things that you'll hear is that a lot of the incentive money that was in the headlines was linked to job development. So in fact, Wisconsin hasn't had to ship hundreds of millions or billions of dollars to Foxconn because they didn't come through with the jobs that would have triggered those incentives. But in terms of Foxconn, I think they came out of this pretty well. They own over 1,000 acres of pristine Wisconsin land. They have free access to Lake Michigan water on their property. They have hundreds of millions of dollars of electrical infrastructure that was built and charged to users across the Midwest. There's no direct penalties that are assessed to a company like Foxconn that reneges on their promises.
What are your thoughts on why Foxconn is still in Wisconsin? I mean, why?
The question that you raise on why Foxconn is still there is multifaceted. One is that they own the land. It was deeded to them, so they're there for the long haul. What they do with that land is still up in the air. Secondly, there are hundreds of millions of dollars of infrastructure built to support a plant that is apparently never going to be to actually be constructed, all paid for by the taxpayers of Racine County and Mount Pleasant, the village where the land is actually located. So once you've made hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe close to $1 billion in infrastructure investment, it's hard simply to turn your back on that, especially from the state point of view, in that the legislation that Walker pushed through includes a obligation to back the municipal bonds that were issued to build those to build that infrastructure, so that there's a 40% moral obligation to the taxpayers of Wisconsin to cover the local municipalities if they're unable to pay those bonds off.
Lawrence Tabak, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. The book is called Foxconn, Imaginary Jobs, Bulldozed Homes, and the Sacking of Local Government. It's published by the University of Chicago Press. Thanks.
My pleasure.